I am so happy to be here. Welcome home to me. I am also so happy to be around some adults. So forgive me if I'm like overexcited about that, people that your frontal lobe is developed, and so you make good choices. So when Reverend Nathan asked me to do this sermon in my usual style, I gave him one title, and then the Spirit began to deal with me. I got another title, and then I was writing the sermon. I got a third title. And so I'm going to read them all. Whichever one resonates for you, we'll go with that. So when reality hits is pretty much what summarized my life after I left here. And then as I was writing the sermon, something in my spirit said it just got real. And then as I was closing my sermon, there was this sense of God, but I thought you called me. And whichever one of those resonates with you, we'll go with that. Will you pray with me? Father, you are awesome. You are limitless. You have no boundary, and you have no end. Sometimes we just feel like we've reached the end of ourselves and we don't know where else to go. Thank you for being in our midst continuously, even when we don't feel you. And most importantly, even when we don't acknowledge you. Thank you for being the hand that continues to hold things together, that answers the prayers that we prayed so long ago, that watches over our children, that watches over our families. But most importantly, that is the gatekeeper for our souls. I ask that you would do that thing that only you know how to do and use one message and communicate it to a myriad of people in the spaces of their life that they need to hear it. May they leave full, recognizing who you are more and more. In your name we pray, amen. I remember when verbally preaching used to be such a big part of my life. I can call to memory preaching my very first sermon in this church, in this pulpit. I was about 22 years old, and now I'm 20-something. I won't reveal that to you, but I am closer to 30, can you believe? I can remember feeling so called and so affirmed. And this very church was also the first time I led communion. I remember the feeling I got when I broke the bread and said the beautiful words of institution for the first time. I also remember coming in here and Reverend Nathan said, I'm going to train you on how to do communion. And so I come in and I'm ready for this training and we go behind the table and he said, read this. And I read it, and he said, you're ready. I was really ready for a more intense training, but I guess Sunday we're on. Through this church was the first time I'd ever interacted with and then in turn was protected from church politics. And this place was my very first board meeting, finance meeting, worship meeting, children's ministry meeting, and commission on ministry meeting all in the same day. I never knew there were so many meetings concerning the matters of church. But most profoundly, on this very stage, about 2 years ago on May 8th, I was ordained into Christian ministry. And I don't know how many of you were here, but it truly was a miraculous day. We all showed up from near and far, and the Holy Spirit met us here. Those are some of my fondest memories. But most profoundly, and I probably was taking it for granted at the time, I remember the consistent level of hospitality that I felt since the first day I walked through those doors. How cared for and valued and loved I felt. I remember every single birthday card, every after church meal, every word of encouragement after a sermon, every word of critique after a sermon. And every random conversation I had in the hallways with you guys. I don't take that for lightly now. I also remember the devastation when we all decided as one body that it was time for me to move on. the tightness in my chest, and certainty in the pit of my stomach. I remember thinking, what would I do now? I felt so called. But most importantly, what would happen to my relationships? So what happened after I left University Christian Church? I'm glad you asked. Well, in short, reality hit. And then it just got real. And then, but God, I thought you called me. For an unknown reason to me, God didn't see fit to call me back into ecclesiastical ministry. I was still called to preaching, and I was still called to be a pastor, but my target audience so drastically changed. I was challenged. I am challenged by my sense of call. Where would I be if I no longer could be in the church? Who would listen to me without the guaranteed audience and comfort that church provides? How would I make a joyful noise without my community, my tribe? Those of you who blew trumpets behind me, where would I go? What did it mean to be called? So if I can be transparent with you, and some things never change because that's the only way I know how to be. Over the last 2 years, I have wrestled with God about my call. What did it mean to be called? Was my call predicated on specific environments? Was it regulated to certain people or life events? Would the call on my life change no matter the circumstance? And God began to deal with me about this sense of call. And you ever heard something so good from God you just can't keep it to yourself? He changed my thinking about the way I view call. And it freed me to do the work that God was and in fact is calling me to do, and I hope that it begins to free you. You see, call is something that must always be wrestled with and wrestled through. It's something you must continue to evaluate and listen out for when you're with your discerning ears. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that call is not predicated on certain environments or people at all. Instead, I would like to offer that there are three phases of call. To be called is a multi-layered process. And the first phase of call is to be called in. This is the part where you're so excited. When God reveals to you that there is a new job or a new opportunity, you love this part of call. You can't believe that God would choose you, little old wretched you, to do such a good work. I remember being a struggling girl from Queens, wondering how he called me into ministry. Trying to do everything that I could because I couldn't believe that was the call on my life. Amazement, awe, is the first step of call. When you apply for the job that you're not really qualified for, when you go to the school where you don't really know anyone, when you try out for the dance team and all the dancers are better than you, that is the first step of call when you are called in. When you continue to hold what your true capacity is to God and God shows you what your call is. And in that tension is where worship comes from. Worship comes from the disbelief that God would choose you when you lift your hands and you raise your voice. And so in 2015, when I came here, I was called in. Couldn't believe it, that I'm actually had the ability to do this. And one of my favorite biblical characters, not because he parted the Red Sea or because he led the people out of Egypt, is Moses. Because we see Moses continuously wrestling with his call over and over and over again. I mean, this guy was born in a time where somebody was saying, kill all the male children. But he was called. Then his mother found that he was a fine child and put him in the water. And then Pharaoh's daughter found him and named him Moses, which means the one that I drew out. At the inception of Moses' existence, before he could even talk, he was called. That's that Jeremiah 29, before I knew, before I, you knew you, you were in your mother's womb and I formed you when you were called. That is what we see Moses doing, wrestling with his call. And then he kills a man and he goes away and he comes back, but he's still called to this greatness. We see Moses called into a new family. We see him called into new customs. We see him called a new name. We see him called outside of all the other male children and called to be alive. That is a wonderful thing. And at the beginning of my journey, that's what I expect, that's what I experienced here. My call to be alive, my call to ministry. But after I left here, it wasn't so sweet. I was on this high, I got ordained, all of you surrounded me, you prayed for me, you sent me out. People like Miss Kitty and Holly and Diana prepared the tablecloths and we labored. And Scott did that wonderful prayer that I keep thinking about over and over again. But it seems like as soon as my feet left the door, I struggled. And this is the second phase of call, and that is to be called through. And this is the phase of call when you're saying, God, this is too hard for me. Actually, I want to remind you that I never thought I had the ability to do this in the first place. I want to remind you that this was your idea, it wasn't mine. This is the blame game part of call. This is the part where you said, I had dreams. Of doing something else, and you kept calling, so I responded, and now we're here. This is the internal dialogue and struggle that you begin to have with God about, I thought you said this was a good idea. I used to hear you, but now you're so silent. What do you have to say for yourself? I am struggling. I am broke down. People are not affirming my call as much as they used to. This is the truth of call. This is the part where you feel loneliness in the pit of your stomach. This is the part where people don't rally around you the way they used to. When the lights are off, when the music is no longer playing and you're still called, you're concerned, you begin to question yourself. Did I hear right? Did you actually say that I was called? You begin to have this internal dialogue like Moses was having with God at the burning bush. God, but I have a stutter. I can't talk. And these are the times when you begin to list out all the reasons why you can't do this. And it's hard. And this is the part you never really hear about. When they stop clapping for you. When they stop affirming you. When you have to make decisions that they are no longer behind of. This is what it means to be a leader, but this is also what it means to be called. And to be honest, existing here was my safety net. Reverend Nathan and my commission on ministry and my ordination team protected me. I would go and I would cry for 2 hours and they would rally behind me and go into those board meetings and fight for me. And I remember in those moments feeling really called. But I think God sometimes has to burst your bubble so that you see what this is really made of. Are you still called? Will you still go? Will you still march? Will you still be a soldier when nobody's behind you? These last 2 years was the first time in my life that being a black woman in ministry became real for me. It's a real struggle, and your gender and your sexuality and your age becomes a constant struggle in the world that you live in, and all you want to do is be called. When people are trying to dissect your mere existence, if you even hear the voice of God, if that's where you find yourself right now on this Sunday, I want to tell you that you're on track. Because that's a part of the call process. And this is the part where you say, God, I'm tapping out. Actually, call me out. I'm going to go back to the original plan that I had for myself, the plan that was better for me, the school that I really wanted to go to. And God says, no, I'm going to call you through. I'm going to stand on the other side of the river, and I'm going to watch you walk. And I'm going to call them to be still. And I'm going to strengthen your faith. And you will lead the people that's behind you. And I could imagine Moses standing right there at the tip of that Red Sea with that staff in his hand, realizing what God had asked him to do, but looking at the present circumstance in front of him. I know that feeling in the pit of his stomach was like, this is not about to work. We're about to all drown, and I'm going to look crazy on behalf of the God of Israel. But he took one step, and he put his staff in the water. And don't you know it parted? Don't you know God did exactly what God said he would do? And he calmed the tides, and the people began to walk through. But I can imagine at that moment, Moses said, God, call me out. Get my brother Aaron, get my sister Miriam, get somebody else to do this because I'm unqualified. But what I've learned in these last 2 years is right at that moment of the greatest fear, that is the greatest breakthrough in your life that's on the horizon. And this is where I am, family. I am in the midst of being called through. When I'm saying, God, okay, I'm done with this job. Thank you so much for everything you've taught me. In these last 2 years, I am going to submit my letter of resignation now. Where I'm saying, all right, God, thank you so much for these kids. I know you said let the little children come to me, but not me, to you. Can you remove me from this situation? I would so much rather work with adults. This is the part of my life where I'm starting to question if I hear God. God gave me this sermon and said to me, you know what? I'm calling you through. And these high waters is where you begin to grow and build your faith. Christians can't have character without struggle. Because the resurrection story that we love so much is Easter. But there is a Good Friday. And that's the part where Jesus is calling you through. And to be honest, that's where you earn your stripes. That's where you're made. That's where you get your testimony. When we think of Moses, we say, oh, the brother that parted the Red Sea. That was the biggest moment of fear in his life. But it became his stamp in biblical history. Don't you know that whatever you're going through now, that becomes your testimony? You become the one that made it through the thing. You become the brave one that did what nobody else was thinking of doing. Right there is where God calls you through, where he breaks you, where he molds you, where he makes you, where he grows your faith. There's a scripture that says, I don't run from trouble because trouble makes me. And I used to think that was crazy when I was a child. If I see trouble, I'm going to run in the other direction. But right there is where you learn to lean on Jesus in a way that you never have. And the attributes of this called through stage are lonely, misunderstood, unworthy, anxious. But it's the place where you so clearly hear the voice of God because everybody else has stopped talking. Then we move on to phase three, and that is to be called out. And most of the time, this happens when you feel like you've just hit a sweet spot. I finally know what I'm doing. I'm finally leading well. People are finally respecting me. I'm finally getting the grades that I've desired. I finally got the church to turn around. And then God will call you right out and say, all right. You've done what I've asked you to do. And that has to be the most frustrating part for me because you've toiled and you've tormented and you've wrestled and now you've hit a spot that's so sweet. And God will tell you, okay, now it's time for you to move on. The frustrating part of Christianity is when we try to be in different phases that God has not called us to. When you're begging to be called out, but God is trying to call you through. When you're begging to be called in, but God is trying to call you out. When you've been doing that thing for 20-something years and God is saying, now it's over. It's frustrating when we're trying to reason with God the position of call that we want to be in. All summer I've been saying, God, I'm ready to be called out. And he said, but I'm ready to call you through. And one of the best things that you can do for your Christian faith is to figure out, on what level is God speaking to you? Is he calling you to a new thing? Is he calling you through a hard thing? And is he calling you out of a thing that you've already mastered? And accepting where you are is how you dance in perfect harmony with the Lord. Because you know none of these phases last always. Because God is a good God, he won't have you going through always. Because God is a good God, you won't always feel the uneasiness of being called in. And because God is a great God, you won't overstay your welcome. And you'll never take more than you can bear. Because he'll call you out just in due time. And this, my friends, has changed my life. To be in line and in step with where and what God has asked me to do. When you guys threw me the party and it was over, to realize that I'm in the space where I am earning my stripes, where we are all standing at the foot of the water with the staff in our hand, so afraid to put it down because we wonder if God is going to come through with what he said he would do. Put it down. He's coming to get you. And he's calling you through. And I feel called to say this. Sometimes, when you are in a phase that you don't feel like you belong in, you begin to question the very existence and DNA of who you are. And God has revealed to me that this church has begun to question the very existence of who they are. But I want to remind you, as a person that has been impacted by this ministry greatly, as a person who probably would have not marched full on to ministry without this congregation behind me, that God has called you to be a teaching congregation, the church at the intersection, the church that makes and primes new ministers. That is your call, regardless of what happened. He has called Reverend Nathan to be your leader. And if he's standing at the tip of the sea with the staff in his hand, he have called you to follow him and not complain and march behind him. Because God is going to do what he said that he's going to do. Because he has to make difficult decisions. And being a leader isn't easy. And listening to the voice of God when nobody seems to be supporting you is not easy. But God is so proud of this church. He is so proud of all that you have produced, all the ministers that you have affirmed. And he wants to breathe new life here for your spirit to be reignited, for you to realize whatever phase of call that you're in, and know that God is watching over this church and holding you in the palm of his hand. And he is pleased with you. And don't question that. Because all the work that you've been doing is not in vain. And so the season that I am in is Romans 12:15. And the season that you are in is Romans 12:15. To mourn with those who mourn. And to rejoice with those who rejoice. That is the thing that is angering me now. Your job as Christians is to not try to change the mourning into rejoicing, or change the rejoicing into mourning. but it's to be authentic to the season that you're in. And if you're sad, be sad. And if you have to mourn, mourn. And if you're rejoicing, rejoice. But my job as a minister, as a campus minister, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, is not to search the world looking for my comfort, but it's to stand with those who are mourning and mourn with them. And it's to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And it's to discern what level of call are we on. And not ask God to deliver me from the situation, but ask him to give me the strength so that we can all push through. Because right in this valley is where you earn your trust. It's where you earn your faith. And it's where your relationship grows deeper. Where are your struggles? It is a part of the Christian experience to wrestle, to be like Moses, to struggle with God. This is who God is calling you to be. I would also like to say that never stop discerning what God is calling you. My prayer for us is that we all begin to submit to the portion of the journey that we are on, to not covet our neighbors because of where they seem to be, that we learn to hear God's voice in the midst of where we are, that we would discern where God is calling us as people and as a community. As a community of believers, that we would rest in the fact that no matter what, God never stops seeking. He never stops loving. But most significantly, God never stops calling. Thank you. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for a space that you have created where people can be transparent with the struggles of their life, where we can discern together as a body of Christ where you are calling us, how you are calling us, what phase of call are we in? Are we being called in? Are we being called out? Or are we being called through? I pray that you would give us the peace that passes all understanding to be able to discern and wrestle with that. That we would have our ears to your lips. That transitions won't be hard because we know that you are a God that keeps calling. That the awkwardness and the uncomfortableness of changes would be something that we leave in your hands. That we would follow the leaders that you have given us. And that we would lead in the capacities that you've given us leadership. That we will always continue to follow you. Even if we are in seasons that seem like you've stopped calling, allow us to be familiar to your sweet voice. Give us the strength for those seasons when you call us through. Give us the courage for those seasons when you call us in. And give us the grace and wisdom to know when you are calling us out. We thank you and we praise you for being a God that is so committed to our growth that you would keep calling. It is in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus that we pray.